I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, may your word of truth, challenge, reassurance, and hope be in the midst of my words. Amen. I am not one who journals with any sort of frequency or consistency, but I do like to write. And so every now and then, I'll have thoughts I want to remember, or feelings I want to process, or moments in time I want to document. So I get out my computer or a piece of paper and spill my guts. Now, I don't normally share my little spontaneous brain dump diary entries, although some sermons and In Touch Tuesdays have been born from them, which is exactly what happened when I looked at our gospel reading today from the book of Mark. And I remembered words I had written just about 6 months into these pandemic times. On September 1st, 2020, I wrote this. You know what makes church Zoom calls fun? The imperfection. I haven't sat in the sanctuary with my people in almost 6 months, but I'm virtually invited into their living rooms almost every week, or to breakfast at their kitchen table, or for an evening on the back porch, or into their headphones on their early morning walks. We've been so many places together without really going anywhere at all. We've gone from only showing one another our Sunday best to doing our best to just show up, even if it is in our lockdown day pajamas. Dogs bark, cats walk in front of the screen, people forget to mute themselves, babies are rocked, cups of tea in actual stay-put mugs, not on-the-go cups, are sipped. It's all very real, and it's all really good. I know it's not normal, but there is something about this particular flavor of church that tastes so authentic and true and is exactly what I'm here for. Though on any given day, I have very little idea of what I'm doing or how we will move forward, in so many ways, this time has been an odd sort of gift, an opportunity to catch a glimpse into the everyday imperfection and routine realness of one another's lives, to be reminded that we are all indeed human. We have always been called to meet one another wherever we are with heaps of grace, and now we're actually doing it, meeting with one another quite literally wherever we are, and grace is our go-to. We've put down walls and notions of perfect, churchy versions of ourselves, and we've picked up imperfection and wave it like a flag of surrender. Imperfection has been the word on my heart this entire year. I talked about it in my Christmas Eve children's message. I pray for the grace to accept it daily, and I rejoice in its freedom every chance I get. On Ash Wednesday, we reflected that this past year has sort of been a Lent all its own because of all that we have had to give up and sacrifice. But I also think these COVID times have felt so akin to Lent because Lent has always been a season of leaning into the imperfection. It has always been a season of picking up and putting down. Picking up our crosses, as our scripture says. Picking up habits that draw us closer to God and to one another and to ourselves. Picking up the fragments of broken relationships. Picking up all that it means to be human. All while putting down that which distracts us. That which sets unrealistic expectations, putting down any false ideas of perfection or immortality. In our gospel lesson from Mark that Reverend Sue read just a bit ago, we meet Peter coming to the same kind of Lenten realization about picking up all that it means to be human and putting down those expectations of perfection even from the Son of God. Jesus asks, "Who do people say that I am?" Peter, devoted Peter, answers without hesitation, "You are the Messiah. You are the one we've been waiting for, the one who will change everything, the one who is perfect." But then Jesus begins to speak openly about his own suffering and impending death, and Peter cannot hear it. He pulls Jesus aside and almost scolds him. "What are you talking about, Jesus? You're the one, the winner, the king. Kings don't suffer, they conquer." You see, Peter's tradition had taught him that the Messiah would restore the Jewish people to their former glory. That's what Peter was envisioning, an untouchable leader who's got it all together, a powerful king. So it's not surprising that he'd be confused, disenchanted, and actually kind of angered by Jesus' talk of suffering and death. Die? You can't die. That's not how the story is supposed to go. Jesus' response might startle us as much as it did Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he says. "You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Not on divine things, but on human things? Hold on, isn't Jesus the one talking about his very human suffering and death? And isn't Peter the one questioning why Jesus, the Son of God, should experience these very human things? Isn't Peter holding on to the power and the perfection of the Messiah? Isn't Peter's mind set on divine things? It turns out, however, that God's divinity is not concerned with power or perfection. We are. In Christ's upside-down kingdom, power looks a lot like powerlessness and empowering others. Perfection looks like presence, and divinity looks like dying for the sake of wholeness, compassion, community, and love. It's a hard thing to grasp, I know. Just like the disciples, we misunderstand, misinterpret, misbehave, and mistake Jesus for what he is not. Like Peter, we project onto Christ who we need him to be, rather than basking in who he is. We are comforted by perfection and disturbed by anything that is not. We want to skip ahead, past the messy, imperfect parts, to the end of the story, once Jesus is cleaned up and resurrected. We want the joyful praise of Easter hallelujahs without the save us of Palm Sunday hosannas. We want the Sunday best, not the suffering. And I think we want all that because we need Jesus to be what we cannot be. We need Jesus to be a superhero because we will only ever be human. We need him to be invincible because, as this year has so painfully reminded us, our lives are fragile. We need him to be able to rise above suffering because we cannot escape it. The thing we have a hard time wrapping our heads around is the same thing that Peter struggled with. Christ is what we cannot be because Christ became who we are. Christ is what we cannot be because Christ became who we are. The challenge of Lent is to become comfortable in the uncomfortable places, and if not comfortable, then curious. The challenge of Lent is to find the same comfort in a God who walks with us through the valley, as we do in one who scoops us up and carries us to the other side. The challenge of our gospel lesson is to shift our perspective, to see that Jesus' suffering and dying is not a failure, but a victory. To see that a God who suffers with is, in fact, the perfect God for an imperfect, suffering people. Believe it or not, this is the good news, that the Holy One in whom we place our faith, our trust, and our very lives does not take shortcuts, does not skip over suffering on the way to glory, but rather meets us in our turmoil, helps us to pick up the pieces, and offers us the strength to become something new and glorious. Jesus said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it." These are challenging words. What I don't think these words mean is that we need to seek out suffering, punish ourselves, or restrict joy when it comes to us. In so many ways, simply being human is cross enough. What I think he meant by this is a lot like what I reflected on in my journal entry. We cannot pretend that imperfection doesn't exist. We can't pretend that suffering doesn't exist. Lord knows, we all know it does. And when we get too hung up on pretending that things are fine, too hung up on keeping up appearances, on what or how it looks like we're doing, on things being tied up with a pretty bow, when we invest all our energy in preserving our own lives, our own images, our own agendas, we lose sight of the person and the purpose of Christ. The real call to discipleship is not to look good, but to do good. Not to be perfect, but to be faithful. Not to show off, but to show up. Not to be right, but to be real. Only when we embrace the humanity of Christ can we fully experience his divinity. Only when we embrace the imperfection in ourselves can we show true compassion to our imperfect neighbors. And only then can we fully experience what it means to be community, what it means to be church. That takes courage, there's no doubt about it. It takes faith and hope and patience and every bit of those heaps of grace I mentioned earlier. And it takes the mindfulness to tell ourselves a different story than the one the world tells us. Here's even more good news. When we do that, when we stop running for our lives from all that is painful or hard or messy, we discover what is actually life-giving, what it really means to be members of Christ's imperfect body, bound together, not by one who sits above it all on a pristine throne of power and perfection, but by one who sits in the mess with us. No stranger to brokenness, no stranger to fear, no stranger to suffering or doubt or pain, no stranger to us. This Lent, as we journey toward the cross with crosses of our own, as we find comfort in both the bigness and the smallness of God, may we know deep within our very souls that we cannot make it alone. And may we find rest and hope in realizing that we don't have to. As we, in the community and company of disciples like Peter, continue to put down walls and notions of perfect, divine, churchy versions of ourselves and others, and even Christ, may we keep picking up imperfection and waving it like a flag of surrender. Because for us, as people of faith, it is a flag of true victory. Amen.